Okay, good morning. Are you okay? I guess you're a little bit tired. This is the last part of the morning, so I want you to participate.
If there is anything that you don't understand or you want more information, just raise your hands and ask me, okay? So I want you to participate. I have lots of information here, so maybe we won't have time to talk about everything, so I will skip some parts. But if you see something that I skip and you want to see that, stop me, okay? My name is Ramon Farren. I did my PhD on environmental science and technology. And my thesis was about urban settlements, sustainable cities. Okay? So during my PhD, I worked on the topic of rainwater harvesting, on issues about economics, environmental assessment, quantification, quality of water. So I will talk to you about these issues, okay? This presentation was prepared together with Xavi Gavarrell, who is a professor from the Autonomous University of Barcelona. And myself, I work in Ignite Innovació, which is a company in the research part from the same university. After the presentation, if you want to know more about us, we can talk about that. So these are the contents of the presentation. You have all this stuff also in the book, in the handbook that you have been given. I will start with a brief introduction on rainwater harvesting systems. I don't know if you are familiar with these systems. Do you have them in your house? Have you seen them in some places, in the university? Aren't any of you familiar with rainwater harvesting systems? No? Okay. I will start from the basics, okay? If it's too boring, tell me something and I will speed up. Then, in point three, I will move to issues about the quantity. So the first thing is to realize if this resource, rainwater, is a lot or not. Is it important to go to this way? Do we have a lot of available resources from rainwater? So we will try to answer this question first. Then also issues about the quality. What is the quality of this rainwater? Is it good? Can we use it for everything or for what uses? After this, when we see the quantity and the quality that we have available, I will move to the issues about environmental assessment, okay? So I will show you different scenarios of rainwater harvesting systems, and we will see how is it, okay? And finally, if we have time, we will move to economic issues, okay? So what is the cost of using rainwater? Is it more expensive or less expensive than pipe water or desalination plants or other alternatives? So as you already know, water is a scarce resource and the demand of water is increasing, okay? So we have to look for new alternatives. Current urban water management systems are not as good as they could be. With the current situation, we face problems of shortages. So many cities are facing water restrictions. We face problems of stream degradation. So for example, the rain that washes the city has a lot of pollutants that go at the end to the receiving water bodies, to the sea, to the rivers. So we are facing problems of stream degradation and also flooding. In Mediterranean areas, it's very common to have problems in several parts of the year, like in autumn, when there are heavy rainfalls. We have problems with flooding, okay? Big amounts of water that concentrate in the more depressed areas of the city, and this causes a lot of problems. So in this context, rainwater seems to be an option. Okay? So this is why we go for this strategy. What are the benefits that we can get from rainwater harvesting? Any ideas? why should we do that? What are the benefits? I have said something already. So what do we gain? What do we win? It's free. Well, we will see that it's not that free. There are some costs. Okay, but it's free to gain from the...
Easy to collect option?
Yeah, it's relatively easy, yeah. You can do it with just a few resources. Okay. This brings an issue about the storage of water. Okay? We need storage systems. And we will see that this is one of the more complicated issues. How this storage should be done? What should be the volume? Should we have a huge rainwater tank to get water in winter to be used in summer? Okay, this is another issue, the uses of water. We can use this water, we'll see later, mostly for non-drinking purposes. This means not for drinking, but for cleaning, toilet flushing, irrigation. So by means of rainwater, we are saving pipe water to be used for that uses. So nowadays, many people are using, most people actually are using pipe water, mainly the pipe water from the network to irrigate or to clean. And there is a, you know that, there is a cost to obtain that water. This water comes from far away to our house. There are environmental costs, impact, economic costs related to that. And if we use pipe water, rainwater, sorry, for non-drinking uses, we are saving this water, pipe water, for other uses that require higher quality. Yes? So here we have a list of some of the benefits. Okay, we have mentioned most of them. We save drinking water. This is an important one also. If we collect rainwater, we are avoiding the need or reducing the need, for example, of wastewater treatment plants. Because in most cities we have combined sewage systems. Do you know what is a combined sewage system or unitary sewage system? It's the sewage system of an area that collects not only wastewater but also the stormwater runoff, the rain. So these sewage systems, when they are built, the dimension of those is takes into account not only the wastewater but the rain. So they are a little bit bigger in order to absorb rain. So if we capture rainwater, we are reducing the need of such big, big diameters or dimensions for the sewage system. Also, wastewater treatment plants are a little bit bigger than they should be if they only collect wastewater. So with wastewater, we are reducing some treatment facilities. And we are also avoiding stream degradation. I will talk about that later, okay? So how it looks like, if we had to have a system in our house or in a building, what are the main parts of a rainwater harvesting system? Of course, there is a catchment surface, okay? This is obvious. But not all catchment surfaces have the same behavior. We will see later that issues about the slope or the smoothness of the roof have an effect on rainwater. Okay? So this is an important big issue, the catchment surface. Then we have some systems like gutters and downspouts to collect this water into a tank. This is a second big issue. The tank, the dimensions, the materials, the location of the tank. It's not the same if we have this tank underground and then water flows from gravity underground, and then we have to pump it up. So we have to spend energy to redistribute the water. It's not the same, this option, than having a tank just below the roof. With that option, for example, a distributed over the roof tank, we don't need these pipes, and then we don't need to pump water, just the gravity itself. Okay? So the location of the tank is another important issue. And then there are also filters and the pump, as I mentioned, okay? So there are different systems of filtering in order to improve the quality. So now that we know something, the basics of rainwater, why we need it, and how the system of rainwater harvesting looks like, we move to the assessment of the potential. So, does it have a big potential in places like this, with Mediterranean climates, with just 600 liters per year of rainfall? Does it make sense? Or maybe in drier areas like in some parts of Mexico, should we go for rainwater in that places and just keep it for Norway with big rainfall or not? So the first question to answer is, what is the amount that we can collect? For this, we have this indicator, which is the water harvesting potential. It's just a measure of the amount of water that could be potentially collected from a surface. I say potentially because the final amount that we effectively use, depends on the tank and some other things. But this is the potential that we can collect from a surface, the maximum that we could collect. To calculate it, we have this simple equation, which is the result of multiplying precipitations, so rainfall, by the area. So 600 liters per square meter per 1,000 square meters multiplied by the runoff coefficient. This coefficient is a coefficient between 0 and 1 that measures the portion, the part of the rainfall that runs off. It's not 100% because there are some losses of water from a surface. So imagine, tomorrow you are going to the beach, right? You will be having lunch on the beach. What happens if it rains on the sand in the beach? Do you see it run off? Nearly not. So the runoff coefficient of a playground with sand, we have runoff coefficients 0.1, 0, it depends, but very low, okay? Because there are many losses from infiltration, from evaporation, from the wetting of the surface. But if it rains over this table, will there be runoff? Yes, you will see rain, and the rain will run off, okay? And if this table was sloping, even more runoff coefficient, okay? So with this value, we measure the amount of water that can be effectively collected, okay? We have here four roofs. Which of these roofs? Well, we have metal and plastic, sloping, smooth roofs. We have here another sloping roof, but made of tiles, ceramic tiles, clay tiles. Yes? And here we have a flat roof with gravel. What do you think is the runoff coefficient of these roofs, these surfaces? Just say a number, what do you think? This would be the higher. What value would you say? 0.8, 0.9. That means that 90% of the water that rains here at the end goes down by the downspout. And in this one, what do you think? Is it much smaller or not that smaller? We will see later that, it's not that low as 20%, 0.2, but it's quite smaller than this one. So, if we had to design a city, if we were architects, or if we had to make an urban plan, a master plan, just by deciding the roof that we would put in the buildings, this will have an effect later on the possibilities to harvest rainwater. Okay? We made an experiment to see this. And we measured several rainfall events in these roofs, And each of these dots
is one rain event.
So this is one day that it was raining. And in this case, for the flat roof, the rain was 22 liters, and we collected 17. So we made this experiment during
1 year and a half
to compare the several roofs. And what we saw was that this one is the flat roof, the one with gravel. Yes? In this axis, this is the rainfall, and this is the runoff. We see that in this roof, when it rains 10 liters, we collect 6-7. But if it rains 3 liters, there is no runoff. Whereas in the clay tiles roof, there is some runoff. And in the metallic and plastic, more runoff. So with this, we got the equations that explain the behavior in the runoff from different roofs. So we saw that in a flat roof, the rain had to be at least nearly 4 liters per square meter in order to get runoff. So now let's imagine, if we are in a climate where all rain events are really small, it could happen that in this roof, we collect just a few water. Yes? But if it happens that we are in a climate with big rain events, for big rain events, these water losses in the first liters are minimal. So it's not only about the roof, but also how it rains. Okay? And considering both factors, we can choose the most adequate, the most interesting roof. For the local conditions, the climate here, we got these values. So the flat roof had a runoff coefficient of 0.6, whereas the metal and plastic ones over 0.9. The difference between this and this is big. This can capture 50% more water than this. Okay? I wanted to get to this image. Do you recognize this? This is Barcelona, the seaside, the beaches. You see something here? What do you think this is? Any idea? It's something related to the rain? This is when it rains and all the water, rainwater, goes to the sewage system. This water in the sewage system causes some turbulences. And in the sewage system, there are some sediments from the wastewater. So when there is a big rain event, all these sediments from the sewage system go up, and they are mixed with rainwater runoff, which has already been going through the city, collecting also some other pollutants. And this is what can we see in our beaches after rain event. This water is the one that bypasses the wastewater treatment plant because they don't have enough capacity to absorb wastewater and runoff in big rain events. So this water cannot be treated in wastewater treatment plants and is diverted, is thrown in the sea directly without treatment. And then we can see these fumes of water relatively or highly polluted. Okay? To face this problem, many cities are building tanks, underground tanks, to absorb the peak flows of water. So when it rains, there are some tanks being built under the cities to collect this water and to keep it waiting for the wastewater to have the capacity to treat it. Okay? And this is very, very expensive. So this is a huge cost. And these big tanks, they can be about 50,000 cubic meters or 1,000 cubic meters, just can absorb 2, 3, 4 liters of water per square meter, because the city is very impervious, very artificial, so most of the water rapidly flows. So I have in my mind one of these tanks in Barcelona, the biggest one can absorb just 3 liters. And we saw that flat gravel roofs, could absorb 3.8 liters per square meter. So the selection of the roofs in a city is important not only to collect water from the rain, but also to try to avoid flooding, stream degradation, by stopping the water, retaining it, and avoiding these peak flows.
Any questions? No. If you had separate sewers, the first thing is that you wouldn't have in the sewage this remove these turbulences that raise the sediments. And you would have other simple systems, not wastewater treatment plants, but just small tanks to contain the runoff. So it would be much easier. Okay? The problem is that now everything goes to the wastewater treatment plant, mm-hmm. and when the capacity is overpass, everything, not only rainwater but wastewater, bypass the wastewater treatment plant.
Mm-hmm. I also know that it exists a pure separated network. In France, it doesn't really exist a pure 100% separated.
At this moment, in Spain, it's being done in new cities, when you urbanize new areas.
But the problem is that we are not building that amount of new cities. We are refurbishing, restoring our cities. So it's quite complex, but they exist in systems. Sorry? In cities, for example, in many places in Spain, when you have the new urban plan, they are obliged, they must put a separate system. So it's common, but in new areas, not in all cities.
Then we move to the second part of the question.
With the water harvesting potential, we know the amount of water that we can collect. But what is the other part of the equation? The demand of water. So by comparing the amount we have, potentially, and the demand we have, we can see if we can manage or not, if it's representative or not. Okay? For this, we have another indicator, which is the potential water self-sufficiency. By self-sufficiency, I mean the capacity to obtain enough water, sufficient water to satisfy your demand. Okay? So, it's just as simple as this ratio. The amount that we can collect, the water that we consume. If this value is bigger than 1, means that we can collect more water than the one we consume. So this means that we could be potentially self-sufficient. Well, it depends on the consumption you are considering. If you think of only water for the laundry, for washing clothes, then you would be self-sufficient in the laundry system.
There
are no statistics about this. It's just a proposal of indicator as a first approach, just a simple one, to see if there is a potential or not in a given system for a given use. Okay?
So it's like an exploratory indicator. An easy one to start with. Okay? So do you think if we consider a house, let's imagine all of us that we live in a house, single family house, with 100 square meter roof, okay? 100 square meter roof in this climate, so it rains maybe 600 liters per square meter. Would we be
if we collect all water in our roof self-sufficient, is rainwater enough for our needs, domestic needs? What do you think? Yes, a lot, not at all? How? If we make big numbers, 600 liters, this is the precipitation, this is the area, and then the runoff coefficient. To make it simple, let's put one, okay? So, these are liters per square meter. These are the liters that we could have in our house. If we are three people living together, this is the proportion for each person in our house. Do you know what is the average water consumption, residential water consumption? 200 is a possibility, 100 would be optimal. So depends if you have a garden, maybe 400. This per year, because this is the square meter and year. Okay? So this is for a whole year. If we only consume 100 liters, this per year. If every day we consume 100, this would last 200 days. 200 days out of a year is a little bit more than half, okay? But this would be, if this is one, okay, this is not a big issue, we can get it close to one. If we consume only 100 liters, it is not that easy. In Barcelona, we are arriving to 115, which is really low, really low. And then, this is a potential. So we would need a huge tank to collect all water to spend each liter that we collect. But this is not what really happens. But with this you have an idea. So maybe we can be 20% self-sufficient with rainwater, or 30. Okay, it depends. This is also in a single family house with one roof for three people. If we live in a dense city, in a big building, this roof has to be shared with many families, okay? So it depends on the situation. So the first thing I suggest is to see what is the potential in a given system. Not just collect rainwater because it's necessary. Because if it saves just maybe 1%, maybe you think this doesn't make sense, okay? These are two case studies, but I will skip them. Well, the thing is that these equations depend on the roof, not on the climate. They are obtained from different rain events that in this case are from a Mediterranean context, but they could be from an oceanic context or another context. So these are just rain events, and it's just that some rain falls and this has an effect on the runoff. And this depends on the materials, the slope of each roof. Then, depending on how it rains, so considering if in a climate is more common or this type of rain events is more common, you get different runoff coefficients. So when we consider here, when I say local rainfall, means we could extrapolate to Mediterranean climate, we get this. But if the rain events would be different from this climate, we could obtain this. And it could be automatic, I mean, we're just using that equations, runoff equations, but instead of putting the weather here, we use another database with weather from other planets. So we could obtain that. I am simplifying it a lot because there's another thing about the dry periods that also affect these values, okay? So it's not that simple. Because when I say that these rain events could be from another climate. Actually, when we had this rain event, it's not only the amount of water that it rained, but also how many days have been without rain, and also other things like the temperature of the roof, etc. But more or less, you could get good proxies for other climates, since the most important factor or variable is the rainfall, more than the antecedent dry period.
Unfortunately, for instance, in Brittany, you are on the left side of the curve for rainfall, but most of the roof are covered with a steel.
It depends on each situation.
It changes on both sides, so in general, the roof is adapted to the climate.
Okay, yeah, I understand, yeah. So the type of roof that you are using is not casual. So there are historic reasons related to the climate. So the flat roofs are more common in the Mediterranean area where you have big events and not that small events. So although there are losses in the first years, most rains are big. So these losses are like minimized. So these were two case studies from retail parks. So when I thought of the water harvesting potential, I thought, okay, in my flat, I can collect just small water. Where should we collect water to get big amounts of water? What is the ideal, the optimal infrastructure building to collect water? And I thought, okay, we have these systems in our cities. This is a retail park. Do you know what it is? Retail parks, many of them were born in France, actually, are retail places with several buildings from big companies, only one story, supermarkets, do-it-yourself, toys, electronics, electronic equipment. So here we have different buildings, Carrefour, Campo, etc., Auchan, with big parking lots next to the roads. So people go there with car to buy. Okay. This was born in the US with companies like Walmart, and in Europe, the leader in this area was France, with big companies like Carrefour. Sorry for my accent. So I thought, okay, what could we do here? There are big available catchment areas. So let's see if here rainwater has a big role to play. This is one case study in Brazil, okay? And we compared both case studies. And this is what we obtained. Case study A was the one in Barcelona, and this was the one in Brazil. With average rainfalls, collecting water from the roofs in this system was enough to satisfy their demand, which was mostly for non-drinking uses. Water here, I have skipped that, but is mostly used for irrigation, for cleaning, and for toilets. So for all these uses, you don't need drinking water. And at the same time, you have big areas to collect this water. So it seems that this makes sense to collect water in these systems because they have a big potential. If we collected water from all surfaces, there are systems to collect water not only from roofs, but also from streets, from playgrounds, from parks, from other places. Highly paved, normally, but from other places. So if we collect water from all the surface, this is the ratio, 3. We could collect 3 times the water that they consume. Okay? So for me, the main value of the indicator is to start with the value to realize if it has a big role or not. Yes, this year was drier than the average, quite drier. So we see that the potential self-sufficiency is reduced. Okay, so these are only potentials. Later I will mention that. Yeah, here. This is the potential, okay. But when we see that there is a potential, we have to design the system to get it. When we design the system, we have to consider one thing, important thing is the tank capacity. Okay? and also the intended end use. So what will be the use? With these two variables, we design the panel, and there is specific software to do so, okay? As a general rule of thumb, very general, some people say that a rainwater tank has to have the capacity to collect the water that is consumed during 3 months. So 1/4 of the year consumption would be the capacity of the tank, okay? But this is a really general rule of thumb. Actually, when you are going to design it, there are some software packages to do it in a daily basis, considering the rain day by day, the demand day by day, and also not 1 year, but a large period of time, okay? Because there are dry years and wetter years.
You can take in your scenarios the store the water in the ground, like in a forest.
No, this is another possibility. Yes, in these cases I'm talking about collecting the water in rainwater tanks that may be built underground or just next to the building. In houses, for example, if they have a garden, it's common to have it just next to the building to irrigate by gravity in the garden. But there are other options, like letting the water from the rain infiltrate into the aquifer, which is actually a natural reservoir of water. And then later you can also connect it with a well and obtain the water from the aquifer. And in the same time, there is a filtering, natural filtering process. Okay, so there are different options, and this could be one, okay, which is common in Australia. Worldwide, Australia, the US, and Germany are leading these issues on rainwater, okay, but it's getting more common in other places also. Okay, so now it's about the quantity. I will speed a little up. Now we move to the quality, okay? When it rains, the drops of water are one of the cleanest water sources, okay? Because they only contain some pollutants that can be like floating on the air, okay? But when they touch the surface and run off several surfaces, they get more polluted, okay? So with this part of the presentation, I will try to solve this issue. We talked about this before. What do you think are the potential uses for water? If you had to use water, rainwater in your house, for what uses would you use it, really? Saving irrigation? Would you use it for showering? Any of you? I'm washing clothes in a washing machine? Yes or no, washing clothes? Okay. This is quite personal. It depends on the risky you are. Okay. These uses here are quite accepted, okay? Cleaning, irrigation, heating, toilets, air conditioning, firefighting. But there is no agreement on other uses because it depends on many variables like the atmospheric pollution, the type of roof, the filtering system, etc., etc. So in some cases, there are systems that are being used even for showering, okay? But this is not really common. About washing machines, it's getting more common. Actually, there are washing machine producers that are designing specific washing machines thought to be used for the laundry, for the washing of clothes. And one reason for that is that rainwater used in washing machines presents a good benefit, an important benefit. What do you think is? What is the problem with water? Carbonates, calcium, magnesium. This causes problems into the washing machines. And this water, rainwater, has very, very small amounts of these substances. So it's good for the washing machine, OK? okay? And then you need less washing powder to wash, okay? So
this is increasing in popularity. Another thing, I said that it depends on many variables. Another thing is the first flush. The first flush is the first part of the rainfall runoff, and is the one that concentrates most of the pollutants. So it's like when the first liters of water that you can collect are more dirty. So if you here we have a graph. This is the concentration of pollutants in the water, and we see that there is a peak in the first liters, and then this goes down. Okay. So also, if we have systems to separate this first flush, the quality of water will increase. So there are different factors that affect the final quality. About the roofs that we saw before, these were the four roofs: the flat, gravel, clay tiles, metal, and plastic. Do you think there are differences in water quality between roofs? Roofs located in the same place, in the same university campus, okay? So most of the factors from the environment are equal, but there is a difference in the type of roof. You said yes, and you were right. For physical, chemical parameters, okay? Here we have conductivity, carbonates, total organic carbon, and we see that this roof, the flat one, with gravel, has, in general, higher concentrations of some pollutants. And there are several reasons behind that, like in this roof you may find more bird feces, excrement, you may find also lichens, you may find also some natural processes going on, which increases also some of the pollution parameters. And also there is a bigger process of meteorization, which is the degradation of the roof itself. So we see that also the selection of the roof has importance.
In Paris, for example, as a result of the scientific roof, it's really a problem.
Yes, when we have roofs or gutters or downspouts with some materials like zinc, this zinc may leachate to the water, especially when the pH of water is acid, as it's the most, which is the most common situation, okay? That gets acid because of the interaction with CO2. It happened here
about
that
2 micrometers, the thickness is about 50 micrometers, and if 2 micrometers are removed there,
that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You can take this project to get to the surface, and 2 micrometers of the validation, which is mainly science,
you remove. It's quite a lot, yes. I forgot what they were saying. No, don't worry. Okay. So we see that there are differences between several roofs, but let's compare roofs, which is the most common surface for capturing water, with other values. These are the drinking water guidelines from the European Union, okay? And this is the water from rivers from this area, and also from aquifers from this area, where we take the water that we move to a purification plant, and then it's drinking water. Okay, so this is the drinking water. Remember, drinking water, so this is a high standard. And then this is the water in our area. Okay, and these are only physical, chemical parameters. I'm not talking about microbiological, because the picture is another, okay? Only physical, chemical. We see that conductivity is very low, this is normal. Total suspended solids is quite low. Nitrates is low, lower than surface water. The only parameter that was a little bit over the drinking water guidelines was ammonia, okay? But this is a drinking water guideline. So we could drink this, so this is not a big amount. In general, we could say that the quality in physical terms for roofs, this is a review from more than 300 references, okay? These are not the four roofs I was talking about before.
is quite good in physical chemical terms. And metals are not here also, neither hydrocarbon aromatic TAH. Sorry. So, in general, what I want you to remember, for physical chemical parameters, the quality is quite good, is in the low range. And between roofs, the ones that are flat, and in this case with gravel, seem to have a worse result. Now I will move to the environmental assessment of these systems. When you think about capturing rainwater, in general, do you think it's environmentally friendly or not? Why yes? In all cases? And this,
sorry?
Okay, one thing is that it's local, so you assume that you don't need imports of water from other places, so this is something good, okay? I was asking if in all cases, because let's imagine that you install a system on a desert. Mm-hmm. Is this environmentally friendly? Maybe you are there using concrete for the pump, zinc or other metals from the gutters, a pump to recirculate water, and then at the end of the year, you have only collected 300 liters. You have spent tons of materials. So it's not always environmentally friendly. It tends to be because we relate it to local resources and other things, okay? But for this we need an assessment, a proper assessment of the systems, which is at the moment quite undeveloped. So for this, Sarah, who is here, and myself and other colleagues, worked on different scenarios to see if rainwater systems are preferable than other systems, and also to see what are the differences between different scenarios in which we locate the tank in one place or in another one, or if we have a compact city or a diffuse city. So we try to play with different scenarios, which are here, okay? So let's imagine this situation. We can have a diffuse model with single family houses or a compact model with buildings of several stories. Okay? In this case, there are five types. And we could have a rainwater harvesting system here and also here in each of the buildings. Or another option is to think of a common system for a bigger plot, in which we have here four houses and here 10 buildings. So in this case, there is only one tank for 10 buildings, one tank for 10 buildings. And then, in this situation, we could have the tank in different locations. So underground, under the roof, so the same tank under the roof, or distributed over the roof. This one distributed over the roof, it's relatively common, not a lot, but it happens sometimes, in flat roofs, and it occupies just the bottom part of the roof on the top of the building. So it's like maybe 10, 20 centimeters high tank, just below underneath the roof. Okay, so it's like a lamina, just. Okay. Yeah, of water. Okay, so this is distributed over the roof. This is just one tank in the upper story. Okay, so here we have different scenarios. In total, 8 scenarios. 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, 2, 3 for the building, and the 4th for a community. And this 1, 2, 3 change the location. Okay, in total, 8 scenarios. And what was considered in this life cycle assessment were the stages of materials, so the availability of materials, the construction of the infrastructures, the transportation of materials and waste, the use stage, which involves pumping, for example, and the deconstruction at the end, okay? And the functional unit was 1 cubic meter of water to be used in the laundry. So in this case, we thought of a system that was providing water for washing clothes, okay? In the inventory, what we see is that the storage subsystem, we have 3 subsystems here. Catchment. Catchment is everything before the tank, okay? The storage system, which comprises the tank, the filter, and the distribution system, which is the pump and the pipes for distributing the water to the washing machines, okay? So from these 3 subsystems, we see here that most mass flows, most of the materials, are the ones related to the tank. In this case, we consider tanks made of concrete, okay? There are other materials available, but for new buildings, when you construct, it's quite easy to make them with concrete in the same construction process. And then we saw also that in some scenarios, there is a lot of energy consumed for the pumping. So here are the impact assessment results. These are several impact categories, okay? And in this case, it's the scenario of diffuse density, okay? So single family houses with their garden. In this case, we see that there is one scenario, D3, which has the lowest impact. This one is the one that had the tank just distributed over the roof. What is the reason for this? Why do you think there is less impact in this option? No energy for pumping, okay, gravity itself. So yes, for distribution. So as you see, distribution stage, the black one, is not here. And also there is a reduction in the catchment, okay, because you don't need so many gutters and downspouts. And also the storage, you are integrating a lot the tank into the building.
You are assuming that we're not making any modification of the structure of the house. Because you are assuming you are doing it while you are constructing the house.
About this?
Yeah.
For example, in this one, D2, okay, this is the one with the tank up,
yes,
but concentrated. In this case, there was considered a reinforcement, a pillar that could absorb the mass of the tank and the water inside. So it was considering that this could be done in a new building, but taking into account the differences between a building without anything and the changes that should be made to absorb the installation of the tank. So we thought in a theoretical way, but considering the differences. In this case, this big part, the storage of D2, is mostly due to the reinforcement, okay? There is a need for a reinforcement to have 1,000 kilos of water over the building, okay? This is a cost. So the best scenario appeared to be the distribution distributed over the roof tank. This tank, this is not that easy, I'm simplifying it a lot because there are some other problems, like the quality of water, okay? For example, an underground tank has better quality of water than the other ones because it's kept in a more stable temperature without sunlight and more cooler. So the water in an underground tank, underground rainwater tank, tends to be better. And in the contrary, in the distributed over the roof, the tank is more exposed to climatic conditions, okay? And this means that there could be problems, for example, with mosquitoes or other issues. So it's not that simple. But considering the infrastructure and as a first assessment, this seems to be a better option. This is for the diffuse model.
For the compact one, so in what we would have in dense cities, we also have, as a best scenario, the third, which is the same as before, distributed over the roof in each of the buildings. But in this case, the worst scenario was the number one. The number one is the one with the tank underground. And here, the reason for this is the pumping needs. So you have the rain falling, going down to the tank, and then you have to pump that to each of the stories, in each of the parts of the building. So in this case, as the height of the building increases, the underground tank is less recommendable. Unless you think that you will only provide water to the first and second story, because there is not a big amount of water, so okay, just water for, or maybe you could have a common laundry just in the basement. And then it's another scenario and another situation, okay? And finally, we wanted to make just a brief, very simple first comparison to see what was the range in which the impact we created was compared to the alternatives. Here we have two of the scenarios, C3 and C4. I didn't say that before. In general, compact density, in absolute terms, had less impact, 2 to 3 times, than the diffuse density, okay? I didn't say that before. Compact density had 2 to 3 times less impact than diffuse density. And in this case, these are two of the optimal configurations. Compact city with is distributed over the roof tank, and pumping compact city with an underground common tank. This was the global warming potential to obtain 1 cubic meter of water, which was about between 0.6 and 1.2 kilos of CO2 equivalent per square per cubic meter. So this is what we obtained. And here we took 2 references from other sources to see what was happening with other options. And in this case, we see that options like desalination, which is one that is becoming more common, have higher impacts than rainwater. And then here we see water production and distribution, drinking water. If we sum these, we see that we are in the same order of magnitude in the optimal case for rainwater. So this tells us that rainwater harvesting in some scenarios and done in some particular way can be as good as or even better compared to other alternatives, but not always, okay? If you collect water in a big building and then you take it to the first or to the last floor, you may have more impacts than taking the water from the tap, okay? And just to finish, one curiosity. Do you know what is the price of water? Do you know how much you pay at your house in the water bill? How many? 2 euros per cubic meter. 1.5. Do you think it's cheap or expensive?
Cheap.
It is 1,000 liters of water, just 1.5 euros. So, you have more information on this in the handbook, but we compare different scenarios, also in the building level, so one system per building, or at the neighborhood level, so sharing infrastructure to get more economies of scale, and also installing them in a new construction or as a retrofit action. So in an existing neighborhood. And we wanted to know what should be the price of water in order to make these options more cost efficient than drinking pipe water, okay? What do you think is the best scenario from the ones I've said? What do you think is the optimal scenario? At a building or a neighborhood level? Do you have an idea? The optimal is at the neighborhood level. And it's an issue of economies of scale. So a 2 cubic meter tank costs X. A 4 cubic meter tank doesn't cost X. Okay? So it's an issue of economies of scale. And of course, it's cheaper in a new construction because you are integrating it from the first moment. Okay? So considering this, in this graph, we see these lines are the several scenarios. And here we have the net present value, which is an economic indicator to measure the cost efficiency of a project. If it has positive values, it means that this project, at this moment, would be profitable considering current price, current cost and future costs, but at the current price. Okay. So the idea is positive values, rainwater seems to be cost effective, and the opposite with negative values. And here we see that this one is new neighborhood, okay? The price of water that makes it, the net present value positive, is 1.8. So if the water, the pipe water price, the tap water price, was 1.8, in this scenario, it could be cheaper to get water from the rain than from the pipe itself. But this is the optimal scenario. In contrast, and this is the interest rate, which is an economic figure to consider future costs. So there are different considerations here. The worst case, for example, this one is in a building, in a retrofit action, the price of water should be at around 6 euros per cubic meter to make it profitable, okay? And these are some references that you can look at if you want more information on this. And I don't know if you have questions or comments or something.
Well, first of all, thank you for this very nice. You said that the basic study was about using the water for water. So, and you also mentioned that the water from harvesting has a better quality than the water. So, you could think of trying to include it in the environmental assessment, the benefits from extending the water machine life or using less chemicals to restore the limestone. Do you think that would help you achieve that breeding point in the world?
It was not considered in this first assessment, but like the one you mentioned, this effect that has rainwater on the washing machine could be also incorporated, as well as other effects that have not been considered, like the avoidance of stream degradation, the prevention of the deferring the need of the infrastructures. So the system could be expanded in order to incorporate these other changes that we obtain by going for rainwater systems. And this would improve probably the performance of these systems. But we didn't do that, although it could be really interesting.
You may improve the lifespan of the machine, but also the heating, because of what demonstrated by the OER, that
you need more energy.
Yeah, for the washing machine, but not only for the washing machine, for all the heating devices in the house. Mm-hmm. And that's a direct energy saving.
Yeah,
of course.
You are comparing the potential energy exposure.
hardness. Okay, so yeah, this work from the life cycle system was done 3 years ago, and there are things that have been going on. So
what was making the consequence of LCA was the fact of using the roof for recovering water would be in competition with using the roof for solar panels?
Actually, rainwater harvesting from roofs is not competing with solar panels, for example. The fact is that if you have, for example, the flat gravel roof, if you put solar panels on it, you are increasing the runoff coefficient of the catchment surface, so you can obtain energy and at the same time increase the amount of water that you can collect. So it's not necessary to think of them about competitors, but of course this could be done. And I'm not specifically working on this topic.
On the physical point of view, they are not competitive, but on the economic point of view, which is the topic of currency as well, the market, if you have some money to invest in your house, you may choose between the two options.
Yes.
And in that case, it's typically consumer currency.
Yes. I don't know if the group is working on that, the research group, but it could be a topic to explore, yes, of course.
Or business.
Maybe it could be helpful, but we can take the approach of the, we can use the water that after using the building, I'll incorporate to the roof part where I catch the water, the rainwater. You know what I mean?
After using it in the building?
Yes, because I am not going to send the water to the building, because I use it and fill the water into the building and then use it again.
Of course, it depends on the quality of water, and if you use it on a way that you go from the highest quality demands,
but
the lowest one, you could make this sort of the circulation within the building,
yeah,
before taking it out of the building. But of course, this may happen if you don't need a lot of energy to recirculate, and also if you follow like from high grade quality water to low grade,
yeah,
in the sense that you don't pollute the water used in the first use of the water. It could be done. I mean, green waters are something similar, like the circulated water within the building.
Okay. It could be another variable to incorporate into the climate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing else. Thank you very much for your attention. And
thank you.